Now on Sports Talk, it's SC Wild with Major Billy Downer of the Department of Natural Resources. Major Downer is here to take your questions about the great outdoors in South Carolina. Give him a call at 888-898-2525. It's SC Wild from DNR on the Sports Talk Radio Network.
Well, it was a major downer today when Jordan Birch did not officially sign with South Carolina, but we bring you the real Major Billy Downer. You like that?
Did you have play fun, on the name? You have fun with that?
It just hit me as I was listening to your opening.
I don't get it enough. He's a major downer.
Do you hear that all the time?
Really? He's a major downer.
Here's my boss. He's a major downer. Let me tell you.
That's it. That's how it goes. So, hey.
Well, you are a major upper for us here on Sports Talk with SC Wild from DNR. Good to have you with us once again. Before we get into tonight's topics, and you got some good ones, if you have a question related to the great outdoors, licensing, anything that you have maybe an issue with DNR or with the government when it comes to your hunting and your fishing.
Careful. Well, you're going well off rails. Issue with the government. I mean, we could go south for hours.
Well, I want to agitate some people. You know,
you're good.
888-898-2525. You can reach out and touch Major Downer here with us tonight on SC Wild. So today was beautiful. Last couple of days, 70s here in February.
Unseasonably warm, if you will, for South Carolina again.
So what's that doing to the great outdoors?
It throws everything topsy turvy.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to talk about fishing a little bit. Fishing, it just doesn't. You know, fishing warmer weather, everybody's ready to go out. When it's 70s, get on the boat. You know, let's go out in the lake and fish, but the water's still cold, so we'll talk about it a little bit more. But waterfowl season just wrapped up this past week. Had our first youth day this past Saturday. Pretty good for some places, not as good in others. Again, waterfowl season kind of ended on a low note. Very slow, unproductive season for a lot of folks. Coastal-wise, we had some good duck hunting areas on public land. We've talked about that a lot. I had one really good hunt. I got invited on a hunt Thursday, the last Thursday of the season. Nice hunt with some ringnecks with some friends and killed three limits of ringnecks there in the blind. Three of us did. Had a great hunt. Enjoyed watching the dog retrieve birds. Great way to end the season. Kind of makes your duck season when you have a good hunt.
Mm-hmm.
But because you realize that everybody doesn't get that experience. So I was very blessed and lucky.
Does that give you momentum to carry over to the
enthusiasm? Yeah, just wait till next year. You know, you get excited. So it's nice to be here in South Carolina and have a good day. It just makes you kind of feel good. It gets you excited about next year and gives you hope that it's going to keep being better.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a good day. Enjoyed it. Again, had a lot of good dog work. We enjoyed being outdoors together. A lot of fun. So, youth season. Today, this past Saturday was youth day. This next Saturday coming up is the last youth day. So just want to remind folks that the last waterfowl day of Federal Youth Day is this Saturday. Remember, hunters age 17 or younger may hunt on the Federal Youth Waterfowl Day, but they must be accompanied by a person at least 18 years of age. So a little difference. The adult does not have to be licensed, but they have to be accompanied by someone 18 years of age by the federal rule. Youth age 16 and 17 years of age who hunt on Saturday must possess a valid migratory bird permit and a federal waterfowl stamp because they're of license age. The daily bag limits and possession limits are the same as the regular duck season. So after this Saturday, there goes another duck season. It's over for another year.
These youth days, how important do you think they are to generate interest in the younger ages in hunting?
That's a great question. So
I think that's the first time you've ever said that about one of my questions.
You're probably right. Maybe I should take that back.
It's a good day.
No, this generates a lot of conversation among adults. There's some adults that could care less about kids.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about me.
Yeah.
And that's unfortunate because I think that's short-sighted. You know, we have a 60-day duck season. Some of these opponents of this would say, well, you had 60 days to take kids hunting. You're right. But the same people that it's all about them don't take kids with them because it's all about them, not the kids.
Mm-hmm.
So forcing a youth day allows an opportunity for it to be about the kids. And I think that's a great thing. That's been my career, is taking kids hunting, my kids and other kids, and introducing them to the great outdoors.
I can tell you're passionate about that.
I mean, I love it. I love taking kids on their first duck hunt. I did this past Saturday. Took two kids that had been duck hunting before, but they've never been in a pond where ringnecks are diving in from the sky, and they get to see all that and get to hear the sounds of the, you know, the old ringneck's the jet engine. And they're coming in, and the kids are looking up, going, where are they at? And they, whoosh, there they are. They get to see a dog work. They get to shoot, miss, and enjoy all that, and, yeah, and jab each other, enjoy it. But, you know, youth days are important because it makes it about the kids that day. And for a lot of kids that don't get the opportunity, it's a good day. And even though we have a chance to take them all duck season, it's about them that day.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's important to continue to keep their energy up, because on youth days, a lot of areas open up to kids that aren't open during the year. A lot of private ponds that aren't going to take kids normally. It's the end of the year. They don't, you know, we're good. We'll let kids go now. So it opens up doors for kids to go enjoy a really quality hunt where they wouldn't get to. So I think youth days are very important for a lot of reasons. But I enjoyed youth day. I enjoyed taking the two young men I took this past Saturday. Enjoyed their faces, watching them light up. Two ducks going to get mounted at the end of the day. I mean, mm-hmm, they're already excited. They're already, we're mounting that one. I mean, you know, so
how hands-on do you have to be to make sure they're safe?
Well, so it depends on the age. Of course, if you get younger kids and they're in the 8, 9 years old, a lot of parents want to take kids early. I did too. You got to be right there with the kids. Sometimes you got to be right behind them to make sure you know what they're doing right. Mm-hmm. These young men were 14, so it's a little easier. You have a dad sitting between them, a dad sitting by each one of them, and so you can control the gun. You know, if you see a gun swinging the wrong way, you put your hand up, you can stop it. Because again, you're talking about young people that haven't been there. They haven't been in a blind.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know about swinging left, right, and those things you need to worry about. So we had a couple of reminders that day. You know, hey, watch a barrel. Look where you're going. And you get dads that get excited. They want to stand up in the middle of the ducks coming in. They want to see them too.
Yeah.
And you got kids swinging barrels. So you got to be careful. So always, I mean, when you're taking young people, extra precaution. You got to keep your eyes open. Get your hands ready to make sure you keep them safe. That's the most important thing on the hunt, is that it's an enjoyable experience and they learn something so they can return and do it next time.
Mm-hmm.
So
makes sense.
Great youth day. Another youth day this Saturday. So looking forward to hope folks get a chance to go out this next Saturday. Fishing report. Clarks Hill Lake, Lake Thurman, the water fluctuating with the excessive rain of late. This report coming to us from the lieutenant there in Region 1. And Daniel gave me this information, said, crappier biting okay? 5 on a scale of, said crappier biting, 5 on a scale of 1 to 10.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
They should be to turn on soon with warmer weather. Daniel Baker also said fishing for the hybrid striped bass is fair on planing boards and on down rods. Warmer weather has everyone heading to the lake to fish, but the water fluctuation on Clarks Hill with the rain, colder water temperature still, and then because of the rain, dirty water from the runoff and the mud in the water is making things a little difficult. So Clarks Hill, some things are getting better. Crappier biting could be better on hybrid striped bass, so that's going to get better in the next month. Lake Greenwood, crappy fishing on Lake Greenwood's getting better as well.
Mm-hmm.
Last year of this time, I looked back, and we had a really good year on crappie right now. But right now, crappie are slow, picking up. Saltwater report. Sergeant Hugin McClellan down in McClellanville, inshore fishing for spot-tail bass and trout has been very slow, he said, due to water temperatures from McClellanville up to Charleston Harbor. Some sheephead, they said, were being caught at near-shore wrecks, but little activity way offshore. He said a few folks fishing for black sea bass, but not a lot 10 miles off. So right now, the story's pretty slow on the saltwater end. The report I got, I've heard some people being successful with some guides going out where they may find some redfish in some deep holes and things, may be successful. But right now, saltwater a little slow. Clarks Hill Lake getting better. Lake Greenwood going to get better as well. Talked to another friend of mine, said Wiley should be picking up for crappie as well. So the crappie fishing season is coming in here. End of February, March is when crappie really gets wide open. So that's kind of our fishing report.
Wanted to ask you, you know, we're supposed to get a lot of rain over the next 24 hours.
Yes.
What's that going to mean to everything you've already talked about?
So rain, like we said, rain comes in. If you get a lot of runoff in the lakes, it's going to make the water dirty, and that's going to make it hard for people to see fish if you're sight fishing. It also makes, when the water's cloudy, sometimes fish don't bite as well. You got to change your lures up to make the lures more visible to the fish.
Because mm-hmm.
when the water's cloudy, a fish can't see either. So it makes it a little more difficult fishing. Doesn't make it impossible. But typically, the bite goes down when it's very muddy. So water fluctuation also. You know, when you get a lot of water on the coast and you get a lot of fresh water dumping in the salt water, it messes things up too because that salt water dynamic changes. When you get a lot of fresh water pushing in, not that the salt water dividing line changes, but the fresh water flushing in there does create a different environment. And so fishing will slow down a lot of times. Fish will push back and come back in. So rain does have a lot. we're supposed to have a pretty bad rainstorm coming tomorrow, all the way through tomorrow night.
Heavy weather.
Watch your weather reports. I know we're watching that. Could be some damaging winds. So we'll be very watchful on that.
When you talk about lures and things of that nature, have you got a favorite?
Depends on the fish. Saltwater, I am a live bait guy. I don't do a lot of artificial bait. For saltwater, I'm kind of traditional live bait. I'm using mud minnows, or I'm using shrimp, or mm-hmm. I'm using mullet that we catch, mullet minnows when we catch those in the creeks.
Mm-hmm.
And we use for sheephead, of course, we're using little fiddler crabs. We enjoy doing that a lot. Inshore bass fishing, it's hard to beat a worm. I'm an old worm guy. There's a lot of better things out there this time of year, rattle traps and other shallow water baits. When you pull them, they're going to dive down shallow. They give you the opportunity to fish for bass in areas where it's not as deep. The rattle trap gives a little noise. That noise in the water attracts that fish to come bite that lure.
So, you ever make your own, tie your own lures?
No.
You prefer to purchase them.
So when you talk about tying your own lures, you're talking about trout fishing. They tie their own flies.
Yeah.
I don't do that. I've never gotten into fly fishing that much. I did it when I went to Alaska that one time, enjoyed it,
mm-hmm.
but don't have a whole lot of opportunity in places to go here for fly fishing.
Yeah, there is not fly fishing type rivers and stuff here, is it?
There is. There's fly, of course, there is up in the upstate. We've got streams and waters in that area, but there's also folks that get here, smallmouth bass, upper Saluda. A lot of folks like below the dam, upper Saluda, they like to fish with fly rods for for smallmouth bass. And that fishery is, a very defined fishery. Folks like to do that. They go get their fly rods, and you have to have the right boat, or you want to wade, to fly fish.
Mm-hmm.
There's folks that have tried fly fishing for brim. That works some, but, I like taking a brim buster and slinging my bait in there, basically pulling it back like a slingshot and shooting up under the cypress trees to catch brim. So,
do you own waders?
I do own waders. You do? Duck hunter. I love waders.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not standing in the water wet.
No, yeah. Well, yeah.
I have stood in the water plenty of times wet.
Fly fishing, are fly fishing waders bigger than, don't they, because fly fishermen like to get out in the middle of the stream? And
typically, they're thinner because it's in warmer weather, but mm-hmm. not necessarily. They're same. A lot of them are made of canvas, so they're made of the of neoprene like they are today. So similar construction, pretty much the same wader. Usually, you're not wearing camouflage waders fly fishing, but you might. Mm-hmm. So,
fly fishing would seem to be a lot of fun to me.
It is. It's very much a technique.
Mm-hmm.
Learning how to fly fish, holding the bait, or taking the rod, sling back.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went to Alaska, I had to learn. The guy was teaching us about fly fishing. It's definitely a technique. You have to take what they call load the rod. You load the rod by slinging that rod back with your wrist, and you snap your wrist back, and you load it. When it says load it, that's when that bait goes all the way to the back and you feel it tug a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Then you push it forward and throw your wrist out.
Kind of a snap?
And it snaps. That's mm-hmm. right.
Yeah.
And it snaps that bait out there to the full extension. If you extend your hand, it's kind of like if you're throwing a baseball in full extension. You extend the hand out, it slings that bait out at the far end and drops. And you got to learn kind of a feel and a touch for it, if you will, particularly in streams and smaller trout streams where it's tighter water. You learn how to kind of thread that needle and drop that bait where you want it instead of up in the weeds.
Are you fishing basically on top of the water?
Yes.
Yeah.
So fly fishing, you're on top of the water.
Yeah.
Your flies,
I think that'd be kind of fun.
Now they have flies that float, and they have flies that go a little bit, mm-hmm. sink a little bit, but usually it's always floating.
Mm-hmm.
So they got a little piece of foam. They use feathers and chicken feathers or different bird feathers
mm-hmm.
To attract bait.
It'd be kind of neat. Fish. I might have to learn how to do that.
It's fun.
Practice in the backyard.
It's fun.
Yeah.
So.
All right.
Well. Couple of different fun things coming up in the next. We're going to talk about shooting sports the next segment at the end here.
Got a break coming up, so we'll get to that.
But we have a couple outdoor events we want to talk about coming up next weekend, not this weekend, but the following weekend, second weekend, or I guess that'll be the third weekend in February.
Mm-hmm.
The Southeastern Wildlife Exposition in Charleston will start.
Big.
Big deal.
That's big, isn't it?
It's huge. Yeah. Thousands of people. Of course, the Take One, Make One trailer, DNR, will be at the Brittle Bank Park. A lot of the outfitters there will have our big heritage trailer with the history of wildlife conservation in South Carolina. Fifth largest deer on record mounted in that trailer, as well
fifth
as the story.
Largest deer
fifth
on
largest
record.
Deer, yep. We'll have story of the wood duck, story of black bear, white-tailed deer, wall, which is fun, aging wall,
All right. Hold that thought.
Wild turkey.
We'll come back with more of that here on SC Wild from DNR.
Now on Sports Talk, it's SC Wild with Major Billy Downer of the Department of Natural Resources. Major Downer is here to take your questions about the great outdoors in South Carolina. Give him a call at 888-898-2525. It's SC Wild from DNR on the Sports Talk Radio Network.
Okay, we're back with the Major Billy Downer. Sports Talk, SC Wild from DNR. A little bit more about the big event coming up in Charleston?
Yeah, Southeastern Wildlife Exposition, for those that love the great outdoors, anything outdoors. If you love dogs, every dog lover's down there at Brittlebank Park, brings the dogs out. You got the big they got the big dog jump competition there where they run them down the ramp and they jump, see how far they can jump in the water. You've got the, they call it the outfitter tent. Again, DNR will be there. The Heritage Trailer with History of Wildlife Conservation in South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Our officers will be there as well. So, be a great weekend downtown. You get lots of artwork, wildlife artwork, good restaurants. It's just a great weekend to be there. So it'll be another weekend since 1993. I've not missed one.
And they attract thousands, don't they?
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
The only one I may have missed, I believe, I would have to say we probably missed it in 1995 when my son was born.
Really?
Yeah.
You couldn't get the wife to go down there and have the baby?
Nope. Nope. And I probably got to say we missed it in 1999 when my daughter was born. Because she was born February 16th, so that's right there at Seaway. I don't think we went that year either. But that's the only two.
You sound like a man who's lost control.
No.
Should have a handle on that.
1993 to now, that's 26, 27 years this year. That means I've made it 25 out of 27. That's pretty good.
Not bad. Not bad. All right, we got some youth shooting sports coming up.
So this weekend is our state trap and skeet championship. We got 180 youth coming to shoot each day at these events, club and school teams. We've got over 45 school teams in the state now.
Really grown over the years, hasn't it?
It really has. You know, skeet and trap for us is growing. We've been doing sporting clays. Some other groups have been doing sporting clays as well. But skeet and trap's been growing in our organization tremendously. We had 350 just 2 years ago. Now we got 500. We started with just over 200 4 years ago. So, I mean, this thing's growing fast.
Mm-hmm.
And 500 kids trying to getting into shooting at two ranges for skeet at our Watery Range in Richland County, the Palmetto Shooting Complex in Edgefield. We're having to open up two ranges to accommodate all the shooters. Scholastic clay target sports is growing huge for DNR. 4-H, their skeet and trap program is growing as well. Rick Willie, Bernie Till with the Scholastic Clay Target program, their program is growing along with that. So skeet and trap, we're seeing a big uptick.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of schools get into it. First, everybody wanted to do sporting clays, and they still do. But they're seeing how fun skeet and trap can be, and we're enjoying watching it.
Explain the difference real quick for those who might not know.
So sporting clays is like
clay
a golf course.
And
you're going to walk a course, and you're shooting clays doing different things. Skeet and trap are a game that's regimented. Skeet, you're walking around a half-moon shape. Trap, you get a high bird and a low bird for skeet, and you shoot 25 targets per round.
That where you say, pull?
Correct. You say pull at all of them. Though.
Pull!
You say pull at all of them.
Oh, is that right?
And then trap is like, so skeet's more of a wing shooting game left and right.
Can you hit them?
No, I'm pretty good at sporting clays, not so much at skeet.
Okay.
But skeet's where you know where the target's coming from. If you learn the game, you can be almost scientific with your swing and hit it.
Yeah.
So trap is a flushing game. It's five shooters stand in a line about 23 yards behind. I think it's 23. I can't. 16 yards. 16 yards.
Mm-hmm.
16
mm-hmm.
yards behind the trap, and the trap shoots off the clay, either angle to the left, angle to the right, or in the middle, so that it can go out in four different positions, and you don't know where it's coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And you shoot your turn. One shooter one shoots two, three, four, five. You shoot five times your position, and you rotate.
Gotcha.
So it's a little different game. But anyway, state skeet and trap this weekend. If you got a team, if you're interested in having a team, let us know. Every squad is required to have a certified coach, squad of three shooters. We provide free training for new teams and also a head coach so that the team will have a certified coach. Let us know. 4-H shotgun training is provided in partnership with Clemson 4-H here in South Carolina. We accept other training regimens. If you have an interest in starting a youth team in your area, give DNR a call. We'd be happy to show you.